go. My name's Todd.
This is Kathy.
Welcome back to another episode of Zen Parenting Radio. This is podcast number 754. Why listen to Zen Parenting Radio? Because you'll feel outstanding. And always remember our motto, which is the best predictor of a child's well-being, is a parent's self-understanding.
Todd, I want you to move your lights. Look
how shiny my forehead
is? Yes. Like, I feel like they're not serving you.
Oh, I don't care.
I know. I'm not worried about how you look as much as, like, I feel like there's another way to, yeah, like, maybe space them out. Maybe.
We're doing this live.
I know, you guys, if you're not on YouTube, you can't see this. And it's fine. Like,
is that better?
Not really, but it's, I just don't know why I have the exact same lights, but it doesn't seem to do that to me.
Maybe I just have a shinier forehead.
No, I don't think that's it. I think it's your light. Anyway.
I'm pretty sure I didn't do anything just now.
I'm pretty sure you didn't, but let us continue.
I just need that powder. Don't they do that on TV where they give you that powder?
Yeah, but it looks more like a shine from the light, not like a skin shine.
Shiny. How about I just turn these lights off? Let's see what happens there.
Let's see what happens there.
I think it's, maybe it's...
Maybe it's because you're more under that light we don't like. What's that called?
This is... Yeah, it's got nothing to do with those lights.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
This is the best first 90 seconds of a podcast ever.
It's important.
Sweetie, tease the podcast.
Well, I think we're going to talk about two things. I think we're going to talk about my Zen parenting moment from last week, only because it was kind of an interesting conversation that I had had with my kids. So I kind of elaborated on that conversation. And then I also wanted to talk about how often you scare me. You startle me a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, hold on a second.
You don't scare me. You don't scare me, like frighten me. You startle me.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk about it because I sometimes see lots of like armchair psychologists talk about why that is. Mm-hmm. And when I say armchair, I mean like on TikTok, there's all sorts of people. I was telling Todd that sometimes when I'm on Reels or TikTok, there's these people who will be like, you have this disorder if these three things happen to you. And I'm like, wow, that's a pretty, it's unbelievable to me that people put information out there like that because it's so not. I'm not saying that there aren't cases where these three things could lead to or be part of an issue, but to be so adamant about it, it can be kind of harmful.
Truth. Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
I would say that most people should probably go to their doctor to be diagnosed versus Instagram.
I would say a therapist. I wouldn't say go to a doctor.
A doctor of therapy. John Duffy's a doctor, right?
But I am also a therapist and I am not a doctor.
Okay. So yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Because people go to their general practitioner often, and no beef against general practitioners.
So can you diagnose? You could diagnose people. You just can't, prescribe meds.
Right. And neither can Duffy.
Oh, he can't just prescribe meds. No. But you can diagnose all you want.
Yeah. So the people that diagnose medication are psychiatrists, medical doctors, or nurse practitioners. And there may be something else in the mix that I'm unaware of, but it's not doctors of psychology or licensed clinical social workers.
So have you diagnosed people?
Of course.
Like, hey, you are this.
Mm-hmm. I did that.
And you...
That's what a therapist does. But I don't use insurance anymore. Like now, because I don't have to use insurance when I see people, that's not part of what I do anymore. I took that off the... You know, got rid of that. Yeah. So now that's not as important because you have to have a diagnosis to get insurance.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Now it's all starting to click.
And then, you know, all of my time at Children's, that's what we did. That's what the therapist did is kids would come in and we'd diagnose them.
I heard that Lori's had some breach in their computer system.
Oh, boy.
And people can't... get an appointment. Like nothing works. So people are literally like taking appointments by pen and paper.
When did this happen?
Like in the last week. I was talking to somebody. I don't know if it was a client of mine or what, but it's just not going well over at Lori's.
So the breach is in the appointment system, not in people's diagnoses.
No, I just think it's like the whole system kind of broke down. I'm sure if we Googled it, you'd see it.
Okay.
So anyways,
going back to diagnosing, that is something that people who go through certain training, that's what they're trained to do. And then there's people who read some books and they have, or, you know, a lot of the people that I see on TikTok actually are you know, oftentimes psychologists or social workers or clinicians in some way, and they still kind of do these absolute things. And I always just think that's a little, I think we have to be more careful than that, because I think that our younger people view that and then make assumptions about themselves. I know that this is for sure. You know, the girls I talk to who are teenagers self-diagnose themselves all the time. Yeah. You know, they'll be like, well, I have this because they've seen something or read an article or whatever. And could they be right? Possibly. I'm not saying they are not smart. What I'm saying is it takes more than that. Do you know what I mean?
I do. And when you started talking about therapy, then I heard about doctors and diagnosis, and then I thought of medicine, and then I thought of this. They don't take too long to really tell you what the song's about.
Who was screaming at the beginning of that?
That was Sam Kinison for some reason.
Why was Sam Kinison introducing?
He's at the beginning of the Bon Jovi video.
You know, I have a funny story with this song.
What is it?
Is that Bon Jovi, obviously, when we were in high school, was huge, right? Slippery When Wet, you know, whole thing. And then Bad Medicine, of course. Wasn't that the name of the second album? After, I mean, not second, but third album. Anyway, they had a huge, you know, they had a huge like heyday time. And then I think they kind of lost something there in the middle, because I remember my friend Jess, she went to, what is the thing in Wisconsin with all the...
Summerfest.
And she said they were playing and that there just weren't that many people there, or that they were singing Bad Medicine. And John Bon Jovi was like, is there a doctor in the house?
Yeah.
And she was like, oh boy. But then they had like a huge resurgence. Like they came back.
Well, it's because us old people started going to shows again because our kids got a little bit older. Then all of a sudden.
Is that why?
I don't know. I'm just making stuff.
Well, and I think they started coming out with new songs. But then.
But wait, there's more.
You and I and Manisha and Chris went to see Bon Jovi at probably a decade ago. And we were so excited because it was kind of in their resurgence era. And Richie Sambora was not playing guitar. And we were like, where is Richie? Yeah. I should have had a sign that says, where is Richie?
I'm trying to pull up their albums, but I'm just too lazy and I don't want to.
Well, how are you trying to, but it's too
just,
hard.
It's
you
just
have
not
a computer.
Working out, sweetie. It's just not working out. Like, I don't know
you
if
like
it's right.
The Google? Yeah. The Googles are too hard?
How many albums are there? 15 studio albums. I would have guessed two.
Okay, so I remember what was kind of popular when we went was It's My Life, that album.
Okay.
And then they did Bon Jovi did that song with Jennifer Nettles. I just remember they were being like, and now I don't know how people feel about them now.
So 1984, Bon Jovi. 1985, right. 7,800 Fahrenheit.
Okay, don't remember that.
86,
album.
Slippery When Wet.
Yes, that was our high school
88,
time.
88, New Jersey,
okay.
92, Keep the Faith.
Yeah, that was a good album.
95, These Days.
Don't know that
2000,
album.
2000, Crush.
Don't know that album.
2002, Crush. Oh, no, Bounce.
Don't know that album.
2003, This Left Feels Right.
Don't know that album.
2005, Have a Nice Day.
I know that album.
2007, Lost Highway.
I know that album.
2009, The Circle.
Don't know that album.
2013, What About Now?
I don't think I know that album.
2015, Burning Bridges.
Mm-mm.
Let the Bridges I Burn Light My Way, Dylan McKay. Even though I never saw a single episode of that show.
Yeah, you talk about Dylan, but then not the other day, but fairly recently we were talking about 90210 and you're like, I didn't watch it. I didn't. Then why are you quoting Dylan McKay?
Because my friend Brian always uses that line when he wants to be an idiot.
Okay.
Let the bridges I burn light my way.
Yeah, that's not a good motto for life.
Don't tell that to Dylan McKay, because he made it through just fine. He was, he did great in that show, didn't he?
No. Oh. And I mean, Luke Perry is not Dylan McKay, but he has passed.
I know, but you can't. That's got nothing to do with Dylan McKay.
True. Week. I just, it's all rough.
It is all rough. Okay, I'm going to play. Oh, first, this Zen Parenting Moment is brought to you by David Serrano.
It is.
Personal financial advisor to Kathy and I, and maybe to you. He offers one-on-one financial advice, helping people figure out the balance between saving for college, saving for retirement, blah, blah, blah. You ready for my new tagline for him?
Uh-oh.
He's smart. He's trustworthy. he's David Serrano. like that? I just came up with it.
You should get him a shirt that says that.
I should. Next time he sponsors the conference, I'm going to buy him a shirt.
You know what? It is true, though. That is one that is, it is nice.
Yes.
There are certain people that Todd and I have in our life, I think everybody does, I hope, but that they're so, you're like, I feel so lucky that we've been able to work together.
Truth.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's been really good.
His phone number is 815-370-3780. Call him up for a free consultation and tell him Todd and Kathy sent you. Okay, so this is the first. So you did a Zen Parenting moment. And you included a quote.
Yes, I did.
And here we go.
And I hope I never leave me again. For a while, the shoe fit. But then I outgrew it. And staying only made me get real good at pretend. So I hope I never leave me again.
I've never heard of this song until you included it.
Do you know Kelsey Ballerini?
I don't. I have no idea who Kelsey Ballerini is.
I think you probably, if I were to go back in time, there was a period of time where we were watching The Voice and she ended up coming on and being one of the judges. I think she was replacing Kelly while Kelly was sick.
Oh, all right.
Long time ago. Since then, lots have happened in her life, but she came out with an album last year. I think it was called Rolling Up the Welcome Mat. And she did, it was not a full album. I think it was like 7 or 8 songs and they were all so good. Mm. And it was about her divorce. And she was married to a singer, also a country singer, and he had written kind of some songs about her. And so this was her reply to him. It was just really good. So she made a video for, I think, almost all the songs. I remember seeing it almost like a story. Anyway, I just always remember those words because, you know, she just realized she got married young and she realized she was kind of pretending and being someone she really wasn't.
The name of the name of the song is Leave Me Again.
Yeah.
And so you wrote a Zen Parenting moment called Hiding Ourselves.
Yes.
So what's going on with this thing?
Well, I had this, so I have a lot of people right now helping me get information from teen girls. I have, you know, students that have helped me, and I have clients that have helped me, and my daughters and their friends have helped me, among other people, to gather information about what girls are struggling with right now. And one of the girls, there's kind of a Google Doc that I can go to and people fill it in. And so it's like, it's anonymous, right? But one of the girls had written that she realized, I don't have it verbatim, so I'll kind of try to explain it, that when she's with her friends, that she has to kind of leave. She has to be as like, how do I say it? As like basic as possible and kind of leave parts of herself behind. Because if you show up too gregarious with your friends, you're annoying. Mm-hmm. And if you are too quirky, you're kind of annoying. And you almost just have to flatline a little bit to be accepted.
And if you're too quiet, you don't say anything, you're annoying.
That can be too. But I think a lot of, and it just depends on who you are. Like there are, you know, this isn't true for every kid, but what I could relate to from the way she wrote it was this belief that who we are isn't acceptable.
Right.
Okay. And that when we go into a situation with people that we have to change things or modulate in order to be what she wrote. I remember the last line of it was to be loved or even liked.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say to fit in and accept it,
yes.
But yeah. Same.
So there's the part of us that are like, I want to be loved for who I am. And then we're like, wait a second. I just want to be in a group of people and be liked.
Yeah.
I mean, it's real basic. And I think that I think she's 16, this girl who wrote this. And she, and anyway, it ended up being a really good conversation with my daughter then, you know, the next day, because she and I were talking about that had been written and that, you know, and we really just kind of related to, I think no matter what age you are, there's this belief that when we go into a situation that we need to kind of chill or cool it down or like not be too different. Or not be too strange, or if it's the way we dress, if it's the way we do our hair, if it's the way we do our makeup, the things we're interested in, like you and I, because we've been doing this show for almost 14 years, there's been this progression that even I've had where, you know, a long time ago, I used to like kind of keep it on the down low, the music that maybe I listened to, because I thought people would think it was cheesy or not good enough or whatever. And then you start sharing what you really like, and you find that you have people who agree with you, or that they're, even if they don't agree, they appreciate you being authentic. But I think that takes age.
Yeah.
You
well,
know?
A few things. One is, I'm about to play a clip of a song because it made me think of when you said we got to cool it down.
I know what you're going to play.
Oh, watch out. Sweetie, that's what these kids are.
Sweetie, say
telling.
All the members of that band.
Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike. I love a girl. Who cares who you like? Is that right?
That is, but who, so who's the name of the person who said Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike?
It was me. I just said that.
I know, but in the band, because he's not saying his own name.
Oh, Belle Biv DeVoe.
Well, no, I think he was in Belle Biv DeVoe.
Oh.
But that came later.
MC Hammer.
No, babe, not MC Hammer. I'm not talking about another band. I'm talking about who, what is the name of the kid in, that's New Edition, right?
I don't know.
It's New Edition.
Okay.
And why this is funny is because when One Direction came out, you know, oh so long ago when our girls were little, I used to call them New Direction.
Yeah. Sweetie, you need to cool it now.
And my girls would be like, why are you saying New Direction? It's One Direction. And I think I was getting it mixed up with New Edition.
Yeah. That's not the only thing we mix up in this household. And our girls are so, like, you think that they're, like, lost in outer space because
anything, why would they be lost in outer space?
Yeah, so
okay.
Because I'm like, are these kids even paying attention?
Oh, got
but
it.
The moment we say one thing that is culturally wrong, mm-hmm. they, like, are ready to pounce. They're like a bunch of jackals.
You know what, honey, though? Oh, that's so funny that you say that, because I was just listening to the Rewatchables about The Omen, and I've been thinking about jackals lately. Have you ever seen a jackal?
Of course. I watch Channel 11 PBS all the time, sweetie.
So why did they have a jackal give birth to Damien? Like, what's that connection?
Sweetie, I've never seen that movie.
Well, you know The Omen and
no,
Damien Omen, too.
Okay. I've never seen it.
Anyway, I'm going to put a pin in jackals for a second, and I'm going to say that the reason that I can relate to my kids with this thing is when I was their age, my parents and anybody else who messed up cultural references drove me crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I would be like, get your I want to swear, but I'm not supposed to on the show. Get your act together and, like, know what you're talking about before you say things.
Yeah.
And now I occasionally say things wrong, and I am annoyed at myself. So they don't really even have to get that annoyed at me, because when I do say New Direction, I feel like an old person.
It's because we are old, sweetie.
But
compared
are we?
To our kids, we are
yes,
ancient.
Yes, compared to them. But I feel pretty
no,
young.
I mean, from our kids' perspective,
yeah.
we can't, especially
right.
me. You're more culturally in the know than I am. So I think they think of me as much older than you, even though you actually
I have those
are
moments.
Older than me.
I am.
Here's the thing about... Because what we're talking about here in this discussion is our kids want to conform so that they are liked and they don't lose their friends. And
uh-huh.
We have this like evolutionary thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy for me, like, oh, don't worry about it. Just be yourself. Like all the stupid things that that we say to our kids.
Right.
And I have that.
Yeah.
I mean, I also make myself look like an idiot in front of my friends, like on purpose. But it's because I already know that they love me.
Well, and it's
you know
controlled
I mean?
Idiocy.
Yes.
You're not being a real, like, you're not, like, jumping off a cliff
right.
into, like, some new thing. You're being your personality
right.
and kind of making them laugh.
Yeah.
Which is already established.
Yeah.
Like, that you're not doing. So imagine if you were, well, Todd, honestly, you, over the course of the last decade or so, you have commented on the fact that some people that you've been friends with your whole life or whatever, that sometimes when you show up a little more serious, they don't like it.
Yeah.
So
my college friends, they don't like the Zen parenting version of Todd.
So, but Zen parenting is hilarious.
That's what I think.
Right. So the Zen parenting version of Todd, I think, is amazing.
I think
you're funny.
I think you're funny,
Thanks.
Sweetie.
But I think that you know, whenever we show up in a way that people don't expect,
mm-hmm.
it gets kind of people get uncomfortable with it because they like a dynamic that they know.
They don't like new stuff. So I think my whole point in this is I think us parents are great at giving advice.
Yeah.
Like we love giving advice. When in fact, I should probably try harder to empathize with our kids who are just trying to fit in, because so am I. It's so easy to be like, I don't need to fit in. One, I have more years of experience. But secondly, of course I want to fit in. I want to fit in with you. I want to fit in with my kids. I want to fit in with my friends. I want to fit in with my job. We all want to fit in.
I know. And why I really enjoyed digging into this and talking about this with my daughter, but also myself, is after I read this, you know, that this girl wrote this, and then my daughter and I talked about it, and then I went the next morning in my meditation area. I was kind of, sometimes I just kind of space, you know, I've talked about this before, but I have a lot of things written from the past decade on my walls. And sometimes I like forget that I wrote something or like.
Have you ever seen that episode in, what is the Ron Howard movie with Russell Crowe?
A Beautiful Mind.
Beautiful Mind. Mm-hmm. And he goes in that room and there's all those things on the walls. That's your meditation area, sweetie. And then wasn't there a time when you, like you wrote stuff for years and then I think you took them all down.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like burn them? What'd you do with those things?
I burned
things?
Them. Yeah.
I never would have done that. I would have been like, hey man, I worked hard on these things.
Well, it was time for them to go because it was a different phase. When I say I burned them, everybody, that wasn't a negative thing. I burned them in like a-
To release
a,
into the energy.
Yeah, to like give back.
But didn't you like at least take a picture of each one so you remembered?
Not each one. I took a picture of the wall and what it looked like. Yeah. But then it took me like 5 years to-
Build it back up.
You know, you got to like have phases in your life. Like there were things that I felt I had worked through and I don't like to use the word healed, but I was like, that's not important to me anymore, where I needed like a new kind of thing evolving.
Sweetie, it's kind of like the wall of pictures that I have in our basement.
Todd was so excited to create a wall of pictures in our basement.
My boss has like hundreds, like 500 pictures on his walls.
In his basement.
So people just kind of go in the basement and they're like, oh my, look at all these memories and they're funny and endearing. And I had an idea.
So Todd's like, I'm going to do that. Yeah. So he like, it was when we were working, one of our partners was Canvas or something.
Yeah, something like that.
It was like we had a partner at the time. So we were kind of utilizing their services. And Todd made one picture, like an 8x10 canvas of when we all went to Disney World.
We're dressed up for Halloween. First,
we were dressed up as Stranger Things. You know, it was the five of us. And he put it on the wall. And it, to this day, it's still the only picture. And it's in the middle of the wall.
Sweetie.
What?
I'm working on it.
Are you?
Yes.
Now, I will say upstairs, though, I make sure pictures are everywhere.
You do a wonderful job.
So, and I'm not saying that to like as a pat on the back, but I'm saying it's not as if we don't have pictures everywhere.
Yeah, in the basement, just the one. Because that's all we need if you think about it.
It just looks funny and all of us are like, there it is.
So now that I've successfully distracted you from your line of thought, do you have any idea where you just were?
Yeah, so I was talking about my meditation area and I was saying that, you know, had these conversations and then the next morning I was looking, you know, I was kind of looking around at my quotes and I found this one on a, it's on like a, I put them on post-it notes and it's a really, you can tell it's an old post-it note, like the sun has gotten to it. And I wrote, and I don't think I wrote this. I think I got this from a book because it doesn't really sound like me. I would love to take.
Maybe you got it from your husband, sweetie.
I don't think so, hon, because this doesn't sound like you either. I wrote, I had to check myself at the door like a coat in order to relate to others. Often I had to pretend to be less than I was to be loved. And I don't know, I don't think I wrote it. I might have gotten it from Mark Nepo's Book of Awakening. I tried to Google it to like give someone credit, but I couldn't find it. So but what I loved about it is I was like, oh, how interesting. I've been kind of dealing with the same thing, right? Or at some point I had been like where I was like, I didn't feel like I could show up fully as myself. And I'll say, you know, I think the difference is now is I still have that feeling, but I'm more able to call it out. We had a situation. It wasn't a situation, but a couple weeks ago,
I was going to say, I love how you like call things situations. I'm like, uh-oh, Somebody in trouble?
No, I was in trouble. A couple weeks ago, and this has happened a few times, but I'm just better at saying things. Todd likes to, we play these trivia games and he'll always be like, let's all play against Kathy. Let's have five people against Kathy.
It's a great rule.
And I think he's being in some ways sweet because he's trying to give me a compliment. I think he's also being funny. But
or it's just I want to have a competitive match.
Right. There's all sorts of things. So I don't think you're being in any way mean. There's a compliment in there. But I often feel very alone then. And I feel like when I do get answers right, I don't have a team and people don't want me to do well.
Just high five yourself. That's what I do.
I just want, and then we kind of had to talk about it a couple weekends ago because there was people agreeing with you.
Let me provide the little context. If we're doing a pop culturing game that spans 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, I put Kathy up against anybody, like quite honestly. And then the rest of us idiots in the family are like average at best. I'm below average. Our kids are probably above average. But the bottom line is you have a whole spectrum of different pop culture residing in your head.
Right.
So the only way to have a fair battle is for all of us to go against you.
Well, and there are definitely some I miss. Like, this is not like, I never miss. I don't know a lot of the sports stuff. I'm not very good at history. I'm not very good at geography. It's just this one piece, right? But it becomes this thing where then you kind of feel like you got to tone it down. And I'm saying you, I'm going to own it. Okay, I'm pushing it off like I'm a therapist. I feel like I need to tone it down or else I don't belong. Mm-hmm. Because then people like to root against me or they don't want to be on my team or it's kind of a joke or it's too much pressure.
Sweetie, what's the Marianne Williamson quote?
Our deepest fear.
Yes.
Is not our darkness. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. It's our light that we're most afraid of.
And that's you, babe.
I know. And that's true. The but I will add in there, I will say yes, period, start a new paragraph. And I will say in those situations, though, that is what's happening. Mm-hmm. I'm by myself and everyone's like, yeah, let's get her. Right.
Yeah.
And like, I don't have a team and people aren't cheering for me. And I also need to, and when I say cheering for me, meaning you don't have people to like, this is such like,
I got an idea.
Okay. First of all, I want to say this is such like a small thing in the scheme of life. What I was trying to comment on was I have been able to say to everybody, I don't like this.
And
I want to be able to show up and say and be a part of a team and like and be okay if I don't get one right. And to also have people feel like I'm in a supportive environment.
Sweetie,
you know,
next time we play, we're going to bring Monkey and you and Monkey are going to be on the same team.
That's my stuffed animal. Monkey.
That's your best friend. I think Monkey. I know you love me and we've been married for 20 years or whatever, but honestly, the love and endearment you have for Monkey, because you've known Monkey a lot longer than me.
Monkey knows everything. I don't know everything.
I don't feel competitive against Monkey, but if I did, I would feel really bad about myself because you love Monkey. How did you name it Monkey?
I got Monkey when I was two, so that was about the extent.
That's as far as you went?
I have a picture in my meditation area of me getting Monkey.
Do you think like John and Jude's named it Monkey or did you name it Monkey?
Honestly, I don't know. I have no idea. But it's funny because these are kind of jokes with my sister because I had a big sister. And in the picture, I'm holding one of Monkey's arms and she's holding one of Monkey's arms. But it's my birthday.
Your Monkey.
And I'm pretty sure it's my Monkey, but he used to have a little red bow. And then at my fifth birthday party, I have a picture of somebody gave me a snake.
Yeah.
Like a stuffed snake. And in the picture, my sister has it. So I think sometimes like things that I got didn't always remain
it's
with
like
me.
It's like an older sibling thing.
It is.
Oh, that looks shiny and new. I'm going to grab that and I'm going to have it until I decide to give it to you.
Correct. But good news is Monkey stayed with me.
Thank goodness.
And he now lives upstairs in Todd's grandma's rocking chair.
And who's the other monkey that's there?
That was a monkey given to me by my parents, I think, when I was like 20. And it's a girl monkey to be with Monkey.
And what is the girl monkey's name?
I don't know. Girl monkey.
Wow. We should have do a survey for Zen Parenting listeners. What should we name girl monkey?
Well, and she was really cute because they gave her to me and she was wearing my dress from kindergarten.
Yeah.
I just thought for my parents, that was pretty like that they know me that way.
Can you tell I am solely not into personal growth today? Like, I just want to talk about Monkey and Bon Jovi and everything else. Like,
I know. I was asking Todd how he had another call. It was a work call. He's like, I'm just not on my game
today.
I'm
just not on my game. And I just so rather finish this podcast talking about Monkey.
I know. Well, Monkey is lovely. And you know what? Let's say this. For your children who have like transitional objects, that's the clinical term, but basically like a stuffed animal that they like, that has meant a lot to them, or a pillow or a blanket or something like that, don't ever tell them they can't have it. Like, and I'm saying, you know, I was saying before, sweetie, don't be so absolutist.
You've outgrown that phase.
Yeah. Like, I don't see this that much because I'm not working with parents with young kids like I used to. But the whole idea that we need to outgrow something that we love, that brings us comfort, like JC and Mia, JC and her girlfriend are traveling this week, and Mia brought her blanket. Mm-hmm. Like, she has a blankie, you know? And that's, I think a lot of people do. A lot of, or they'll have like a leftover. Like one of my girlfriends, this is kind of sad, but her, there was a fire in her house and she
lost almost all of it.
Lost almost everything, but she had her doll, you know, which it got a little bit burnt. It doesn't look great, but it's important to her. You know what I mean? It's like, there's something about that connection to our childhood. And I think that we get through these phases where we're like, people believe, or maybe our parents do, that we're immature for having it. And then we become adults and we're like, no, this is an important piece of my history. And like Todd said, Monkey knows everything.
Yeah.
Don't ask Monkey. He won't tell you.
Well, and it's just another invitation to stay young, right?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like I still personalize things that are not real. Like, bugs have lives and, well, bugs are real, but like.
Yeah, I was going to say, hold on a second. Bugs are real.
Sorry, that's not a good one. But like, think inanimate objects. Mm-hmm. Is that the right word that sure. I tend to get? Do you know something that I did that one of our daughters did not like very much?
Let's hear it.
And some parents may think this is not nice, but one of my daughters kept stealing my brush out of my drawer and it drove me crazy. So I put a note on the back of the brush that said, quit taking me from my home.
Yes.
It made her so sad. She's like, Mom, that wasn't, because she's like sensitive.
Let's just be clear. I love you. I love all three of my daughters. But the amount of care that they give to things like inanimate objects.
Right, I know.
Because you think they have feelings. Now I know. I know like everything has feelings, but I'm not sure the brush has feelings.
I don't think it did. I did it on purpose because I knew she would then put it back.
Yeah.
So it might have been a little.
It's actually really well done. Nice job.
Well, I don't know. There's people may be like, that's not nice. Mm-hmm. But I was at my wit's end.
But if you think about it, like, you know, Wilson.
The
from
volleyball, yeah.
Like, it made sense as a viewer that Tom Hanks' character, what's his name? Charlie? Charles?
Chuck.
Chuck. Mm-hmm. Very good. I never think of Tom Hanks as a Chuck.
Right. Well, that's because he's like alone, so no one ever refers to him.
Yeah. But it made sense that he was grieving the loss of this volleyball, right?
Dude, the volleyball was his best friend.
Yeah.
If Wilson hadn't become what it became, he probably wouldn't have been able to survive. Mm-hmm. He needed someone to have a conversation with, to keep himself talking, to work out the ideas in his head. He needed, connection is how we survive. And if you only have a volleyball, are you going to play the saddest scene? Oh boy.
Wilson!
It's the string. Is it strings or is that a wind instrument?
Sounds like a oboe.
Wilson!
Oof. Oh. Just hits you in the gut.
Wilson!
And then he says, I'm sorry,
I'm
Wilson.
Sorry. Oh. I'm sorry, Wilson!
So as I'm making fun of my daughter for protecting a brush, there's not a big leap. Like, we can love inanimate objects.
We can't. And I think it is, again, I wouldn't recommend other parents putting, you know, saying the brush. Well, the brush wasn't like mad. It just said, can you put me back? Like, can you put me back in my home?
Sweetie, that's what we're going to name this podcast. The brush wasn't mad. Podcast number 754.
It just said, put me back in my home. I think if we don't use it to be manipulative, It can.
So you're trying to manipulate her behavior to return that thing.
I know. I'm feeling a little uneasy. But if we are, I think it's a sign of our compassion, right? Like we don't. There are things that are symbolic. There are things that we have made alive, like monkey, you know, like that. I'm very aware, everybody, by the way, the monkey is a stuffed animal. I'm not like that clueless, but it's become symbolic of my childhood and it something that contains everything I've ever been.
What happened when your college girlfriends were messing with it?
I don't want to talk about it. They know how angry I was.
I just want all Kathy's girlfriends to feel shame right now. If you're listening, feel shame.
They stole him, and they also stole one of... Is stole the right word? They stole. They took him.
Stealed is definitely not right. Stole might be right.
And they, like, kidnapped him, and it was... And then this other thing that I had in my room that was meaningful to me, and they were, like, pretending it was... They were holding it for ransom. I did not find it funny.
Not funny, guys.
It was not funny to me.
What was the other thing?
It was this little... He was...
ceramic?
Not ceramic. What is it when you make something out of
paper mache?
It was like a paper mache guy.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, and they did some. I can't talk about it because it's not appropriate for the show.
Oh,
they did some other things.
The rated X humor is coming into play in the Alpha Phi House, Des Moines, Iowa.
There are just some things. They know who they are.
Yes, we know what you did. What's the thing we always say to the girls?
Well, that's from my girlfriends.
What's that?
Because there was this thing that we had at our sorority house, and it was called Orchids and Onions. And you would put things in there to, like, praise people, but you would also put things in there that might be like, hey, quit taking my clothes out of the dryer. But it was kind of anonymous, you know what I mean? So people would be like, quit moving my clothes or whatever. My girlfriend put one in, put more than one, but this is the one that I remember. It's... She put one in that said, I know who you I know who you are and what you did. So, I know who you are and what you did. So everybody in my sorority was like, oh shoot. Who is it?
Who is it? What did they do?
And so that. We always That's laugh so about that with my daughters. We'll be like, I know who you are and what you did. And it was nothing, by the way. I always feel like I have to... We were just making stuff up.
I love it.
Oh, God. Good times. All right. That was like
are
a nice
close shop?
Little walk down memory lane. Did we finish this conversation, do you think? God.
No, we're only 37 minutes in. But...
So let's say... Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What's going on with you? You just want to be done. You don't feel like talking.
Unless it's about movies or making you laugh really hard...
That made me cry. That was such... Oh, my friends are so funny.
Yeah, I just want to honor... I have wonderful college friends, too, but you are in a text chain with... How many girls are in that text chain?
A lot.
Give or take 10?
Yeah, something like that. I haven't counted, but I...
And it's just... I'm envious. I'm not jealous. Oh, I just honor that, you know, half your girlfriends came in for the conference, half your girlfriends come in for your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys have each other's backs.
Yeah, big time.
And there was friendships that were cultivated in Des Moines, Iowa in 1989 or whenever it was you got there. And, you know, the friendships for life, man.
I know. And that's the thing is not only are they really good people, but they're so funny. And so everybody who is listening, I bet you can relate to this, like, we had a thing that we always talked about with my girlfriends. We'd call it having the humor. Like, this person has the humor, like capital T.
Capital T.
T-H-E, the humor.
Oh, because humor starts with H.
Right. But we wouldn't be like, hey, this person has good humor. We'd be like, the humor.
Okay.
Which is the humor is like a kind of unique... Like they understand the jokes or they understand the... And the jokes are not like at anyone's expense. They're just kind of like...
I think the paper mache thing was at your expense. I think stealing a monkey was at your expense.
Gosh. I know who you are.
And what you did.
What you did.
That's what you should have written on your thing.
I know.
About monkey.
I know. But anyway, they're very loving toward him now.
Yeah.
I mean, not that they see him a great deal, but occasionally.
You're not going to let that monkey in your in their sights.
Well, sometimes, historically, I haven't done this probably in the last year, but sometimes I take a picture of him and just put it on the text chain.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, there he is. Because anyone who had to live with me.
Knows about monkey.
Knows that he comes along for the ride. Anyway, you know what's weird, Todd? Hmm. If someone were to ask me my favorite animal, I don't know if I'd say monkey, even though monkey is my favorite stuffed animal.
Right. That makes sense because, well, first of all, I didn't know we were going to talk about monkeys today, but I'm so glad.
You love monkeys.
Now, let's be clear. I do love, there's so many different breeds of monkeys, and it's easy for me to say I love monkeys because I love gorillas.
You love gorillas.
Are just so majestic. I love gorillas. It's dominating my YouTube feed right now. Chimpanzees. I just watched Chimp Empire on Netflix. Yeah. So great. But there's all these different types of monkeys, and a lot of them are just kind of running around annoying people.
Some of them are really cute and furry.
Yeah.
Some of the monkeys that I've seen, like more exotic monkeys, I'm like, look at that sweet monkey.
Yeah.
And so Todd in his newsfeed or his reels or his, what do you do? YouTube?
YouTube.
Okay. He's got a lot of monkeys.
A lot of gorillas.
I have a lot of capybaras.
Yeah. And just for those of us who don't know what a capybara is.
You should look up the capybara song.
Oh, really?
There's a capybara song. Everybody, does anyone else have a lot of capybaras on their newsfeed? I don't know if it happened because I was, like, my daughters sometimes send me capybara stuff. Capybara, 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 capybara,
capybara, capybara, capybara, capybara, capybara, capybara. What are capybaras, sweetie?
They're very large rodents. They're in the rodent category, and they're adorable. Or at least they look adorable to me.
They're probably ferocious. They're not showing you those things.
No, they're not. Like some people, you know, depend. I don't know. Where do capybaras live? Look that up because you have the Googles.
Des Moines.
They do not.
I have no idea.
But people like pet them and love them. And the baby capybaras are super cute. But they just show up in my newsfeed now because my girls have sent me funny capybara things. I think it was Mia who liked capybaras first. We have to give her credit. But
should we tell our listeners our behaviors as we're going to sleep?
Sure.
Lately, Kathy likes, I want to say threads, Instagram, reels.
Reels, yeah.
And then sometimes you switch over to TikTok.
TikTok, mm-hmm.
So how would you best describe your feed?
Well, it's always changing. I don't follow. Okay, so on Instagram, I follow a ton of things, but my reels don't seem to match up to that. I don't know. Again, people explain the difference between an algorithm with my reels. I don't understand. But on TikTok, I only follow like four people. So the feed that I get is very random. Mm-hmm. Like I have no idea what's going to show up. And so it's different every day. But I tend to get a lot of the cats, the cats talking to each other.
Yes.
Which Todd and I initially thought were pretty funny, which now, you know, the cats have been around for a while. We like the surprise, surprise lady, but she hasn't been around for a while. And then here's the cats. It's that last meow that makes it so funny.
And usually it's something like, it's like we project our own stories onto these cats. And am I the one that does most of the talking or do we sometimes switch roles?
Yes. So it usually is like it says boyfriend or husband and it'll be like, I'm going to the store. Do you want something? And then the other cat will be like, no. And then they'll be like, are you sure? And then the other cat will be like, donuts.
Yeah.
Like right. It's dumb. It's not, I mean, there's no way we could
but
make
I feel
it
like
funny.
The other cat is always saying, You should know
who
I am.
Exactly.
What I like at the grocery store.
They tend to genderize them. Like the first cat is more like the boy. I'm being heteronormative here, but is the male. Mm-hmm. And then the other cat tends to have like more of a female role. Yeah. And it's not always positive. Like I can't be like every single one is funny.
No. So what else is in
sometimes
your feed?
Sometimes it feeds into stereotypes, if you know what I mean.
What else is in your feed?
Capybaras. I have a lot of the interrogations, which you were making
fun
of me.
Oh, my gosh. So we need to pause there. Okay. We need to hold it. We gotta do this.
Right. Are you going to back it up?
So we're getting ready to go out on Saturday. We went to your sister's house.
Played fun games.
And I'm like, what are you watching on your YouTube thing? Because like, I didn't have my glasses on. And why don't you just tell the listeners what was occupying your time on Saturday?
Well, I listen more than I actually am like totally clued in, but I have to be pay somewhat attention because you have to go to the next reel. So on TikTok, so okay, so a lot of things that I do tend to stop on because your algorithm tends to focus on what you've stopped and spent the most time on. So obviously everybody here could guess I'm stopping on a lot of psychology stuff, self-help stuff, things that are around human behavior, right? And so, and also I like true crime. So you put that on top of that with human behavior. And I get this, I get a lot of interrogations, which are real life interrogations of people.
Because they got the camera in there.
Correct. Who have committed a crime and you see the police officers or detectives interrogating these people and until they get them to admit what they did. And these aren't interrogations like where they're like yelling at them. These aren't inappropriate interrogations.
They're playing good cop, bad cop.
Correct. Here. These aren't things like where they're harming people. They're what they're doing is there's a whole technique, the way to get people to admit to what they did. And it's a very therapeutic technique. They call, I think they call it the Reed technique. Detectives listening would probably know better than I. But there's this whole like way that you move your body and the good cop, bad cop thing and the way you ask questions. And you also have to ask them in such a way where you're trying to get – so as soon as the person like does admit to what they did – because, again, the interrogations they're showing us are obviously – where people have admitted to it.
Right.
And then once the people have admitted to it, they have to make sure that they get all the evidence they need for trial. So, for example, they'll say things to them like, wow, you know, if the person murdered someone, they'll be like, wow, you must have been thinking about that for a while because that it was such like a, you know, a difficult day and all these things happen. So you must have been like really thinking about that for a while. And then the person will be like, yeah, I was thinking about it since last week or whatever. And so right there you have premeditation.
Yeah.
So, and then they have them act it out because they need to be able to show that the evidence is connected to how they really did it. And so there's all these things that I find fascinating. And that I think Todd was a little taken aback.
I just
he's
find
like, that's
it fascinating
so negative.
How I just, I'm fascinated by your brain, sweetie.
Yeah.
That's the nicest way I can say
thanks,
it.
Thanks, honey.
And I just think that that's just a really interesting thing to decide to watch.
Yeah, I and this, you know, I it won't surprise you. I am very intrigued is not enough of a strong word. I am somewhat obsessed with human behavior and not just positive human behavior. I'm obsessed why, as you know, we've talked a lot before, I'm very in the weeds around research when it comes to cults and also human behavior when it comes to breaking the law, or I will say violence. You know, it's not just breaking the law. And I just am interested how people get there because I think that you have to, when you're working with human beings, you have to understand the shadow and the light. I really love self-help and self-awareness and mindfulness. That's my like, that's where I really root myself. But you can't look away from the things that human beings can do because, as Maya Angelou said, I'm like setting it up and I'm not going to do the quote right. As Maya Angelou said,
what'd she say,
anything
babe?
Of a human is of me.
Yeah, something
I
like that.
I think that's what, basically, if a human being can do this, then any of us can get involved in these things that are negative or scary. And we, and it's not about being afraid of it. It's about shining a light on it and not making it part of, you know, Carl Jung, shadow selves. If we talk about it, then we don't have to worry about it.
Oh.
Right? It doesn't become an anxiety.
I decided that this is what we should name this show.
Okay, can't wait.
Nothing. What does that mean? The show is about nothing.
Well, it's not about nothing.
No, it's about nothing.
Well, maybe in philosophy, but even nothing is something.
Mr. Dalrymple, your niece is on the phone.
I'll call back. D-A-L-R-I-M-P-E-L. All
right. You know what we're going to call it?
What are we going to call it?
Even nothing is something.
There we go. Even nothing is something. Yes, I take full responsibility for the train
going off the tracks.
It was never on the track.
It wasn't?
Maybe a little bit in the beginning, but I'm just like,
once we started talking about Bon Jovi and capybaras,
the longer I do this show, I just kind of, I'm so grateful to anybody who chooses to listen to it.
Yeah, thank you.
And at the same time, I just want to enjoy my company with you as we're recording. And today I wanted to talk about capybaras and nothing.
Well, I kind of think those things go hand in hand.
Do you?
Yeah, I think that if we are being inauthentic and trying to force a conversation about something, it's not a good show.
Yeah.
So you and I just kind of wanted to talk about other things. Yeah. I think it started when you started playing Bad Medicine, or maybe New Edition.
You got to cool it now. So yes, I will take. And if somebody's like, "Wow, I really want to get some personal growth work in today,"
we will again.
Listen to one of the other 754 podcasts we did.
We've 14 years, guys. Every Tuesday, there's been something. It's been something.
Yeah.
And so more to come.
And we didn't get to whatever half of what we were going to talk about, and that's fine.
That's
too.
Fine. And you know what? I actually just got an email. You did too. It came to both of us. So someone was saying they want to join Team Zen, but they were kind of unsure or whatever. So Todd and I are doing a class, and it is what, next Monday?
Oh,
what's
yeah.
the date?
I forgot about that. Monday, March 18th, my brother's birthday.
Okay, Monday, March 18th, Todd and I are doing a talk, I would call it. It's not really class. It's not like you have to, you know, bring your pencil or anything. You can. Mm-hmm. But it's a Zoom talk about romance and what romance really is and what intimacy really feels like. I think we will use probably clips from movies and ideas from pop culture, not necessarily to say do this, but so we understand why we got to a place where we think romance looks a certain way, and also how to bring a real true romance into your relationship, because it's going to look different depending on who you are.
Oh, I got some things to share, sweetie.
We both do.
I got a lot to share.
It's going to be interesting. So we are offering it actually to Men Living, which is Todd's, the organization that he founded and is the, what are you?
Executive
director.
Director.
And then we also decided to open it up to Team Zen.
Yeah.
So if you are interested in this, listening to this talk, if you're a member of Men Living, great. If you're on Team Zen, great. But if you just want to do the talk, join Team Zen for the month of March.
Yeah.
And you can do this talk plus all of our Zen talks, plus all of the podcasts, plus all of our content. So jump in for Team Zen for this month, mm-hmm. and you'll get the talk plus everything else. And then we hope you stay. But if you don't want to stay after this month, whatever.
If you join the team, you will get the complete parenting content collection plus live talks all in one place, all the micro communities, everything else. Two other quick announcements. We're going to do a March Madness pool. I haven't figured out how I'm going to do it yet, but we'll post it on Facebook or Instagram or
something. It's for women's
for
basketball.
Women's. Yeah, because, yeah. You know, guys, there's a lot more people out there doing the men's pools. But I'm actually more intrigued. South Carolina's undefeated. The Hawkeyes.
I was going to say, you got to start
getting
with Caitlin.
There. Okay. I know, but the South Carolina is number one in the country.
I got it.
The Hawkeyes just beat Ohio State.
Number two.
Beat Ohio State, the number two team in the country. And Caitlin Clark just broke Pistol Pete Maravich's record.
So Caitlin Clark broke the record for any male or female basketball player
points.
In college.
Total points.
Yeah, total points.
Yeah.
So she already surpassed, she broke the record a couple weeks ago in women's basketball.
Yes.
And then yesterday broke the record.
She just breaks records left and right.
She's kind of amazing.
She's kind of amazing.
It's really fun to have a kid there right now.
Yes, she just gave up her final year of eligibility. She's going to the WNBA next year. So, join us in the March Madness pool. More details to come. And then I am part of a Men Living Weekend in Callaway, Virginia at the end of April. If there's any guys on here that want to connect with yourself, connect with the outdoors, connect with each other, do some personal growth work, have some fun, the link to that weekend will be in these show notes.
Yeah, so underneath, if you scroll down, you can link to joining Team Zen, Men Living, blah, 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 capybaras.
Even nothing is something, sweetie.
Even nothing is something.
Keep trucking, everybody.
If you have appreciated or enjoyed a decade of Zen Parenting Radio podcasts, please tell a friend or leave a 5-star review. We are grateful for your support. If you want more Zen Parenting, consider joining Team Zen Circle, our very own app that includes our virtual community, exclusive content, and support from us.
You could also purchase Kathy's award-winning book, Zen Parenting, Caring for Ourselves and Our Children in an Unpredictable World, or subscribe to Zen Parenting Moment. You can find these opportunities and more at zenparentingradio.com/resources. And if you want to connect through social networking, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Keep trucking, and we'll talk to you again next week.